This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 31st, 2019, the fourth Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I try not to complain too much publicly. Come into my office and hear a lot of complaining. I generally try to complain here, but on occasion I do because there are some things that bug the heck out of me. One of them, and if you go here more than a month or so, you know what it is when people who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior will look at a heathen, a pagan, or somebody who's living in abject sin and say, "I'm just like you." That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You're not like them. Why? Because I say so? No. Because the Holy Spirit says so through St. Paul. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You're not the same as other people. You're all the same in this very vague sense of being, everybody's God's creation, everybody's a son of God. Well, yeah, he made everything. All people, dogs, cats, rocks, trees, we're not like them. We're not like people who are not in Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. We should take so much comfort in, solace, encouragement in this world where things, as you get older, newsflash, for those of us on the downside of things, it's not a newsflash. For younger ones, newsflash. It's going to get worse and worse and worse as you live here. That's the way things are, temporally. That can be really depressing if you're outside Jesus Christ, because that's all you have is getting worse and worse and worse, and then you die in Christ Jesus. As things get worse and worse and worse in this world, we know they're getting better and better and better because eternal life is in front of us. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Because of your baptism, you are radically different than they are. You are apples and oranges, night and day different than they are. St. Thomas Aquinas, speaking of creation, both in the material and in a spiritual sense, said, when we look at creation, and you hear words like this, in Christ you are a new creation, you have to understand that you have been moved from non-being to being. When God spoke and all things leapt into existence through Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit hovered over things, we have to understand that he didn't create the heavens and the earth out of stuff that exists. He made the stuff out of nothing, and then he created. He created everything out of nothing. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Outside of Jesus Christ, you are spiritually nothing. You don't look at a newborn infant. That's absolute innocence right there. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's deformed corruption because of original sin. No matter how you dress them up, it's deformed spiritually. We are moved in Christ Jesus to this new creation. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. To be in sin is nothingness, just like there was nothing before God created the heavens and the earth. Sin is nothingness. St. Augustine says that when we come to Christ Jesus through the labors of baptism, that we are no longer just human beings, but we are good people. Are you saying people that aren't Christians aren't good people? Yep, that's what I'm saying. That's what St. Augustine says. That's what the scriptures say. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We're not good people. We're human beings. We bear the image of God. All that's, yeah, that's a given. But we're not good people. We're not good people until Christ Jesus. Anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. In Christ Jesus, the new has come. Not in keeping the law of Moses are we reconciled to God. Muhammad doesn't reconcile us to God, nor any Eastern philosophy, name your poison. None of them reconcile us to God. Jesus Christ reconciles us to God. It's the way God works. It's always the way he works. This newness. And it's not like it, when I'm talking about, we're not talking about a light switch throwing newness. Dark, light. Well, yeah, in a sense, it's definitive. But there is even more so a progressive nature of this newness. It's like if you plant a seed in a flower pot. It depends on what the seed is. You plant a seed and you look at it, and it can be days, weeks, sometimes months. You're like, look at it. Then all of a sudden the sprout comes up. Wow, that's something new. No, it's not something new. It is something that has grown out of the seed. Well, leaves, flowers, fruit. It's big now. It's new. No, not new in the sense of different. New as in successive. This is the difference between, for instance, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Ever read your scripture? Well, that was in the Old Testament. That was for them. We live now in the New Testament. That's for us. No, wrong. Absolutely wrong. The New Testament is the flower and the fruit of the Old Testament. We had shadows before. In the Old Testament, you had a temple building in a certain city. You must go to this city. You must go into this building and you must bring these animals and then you're good with God. We have so much more now. We don't have to go to a certain building somewhere in some certain city. We don't have to make a hajj. The Holy Spirit, God himself, indwells within each and every one of the persons who has passed through the labors of baptism. The Holy Spirit is not in people who are not baptized into Christ Jesus. This is what I mean about difference. This is what I mean you have to understand. Because it is so encouraging. It should be so comforting for us. It's not triumphalism. Hey, we got it and you don't. Anyone can have it. You're an ambassador of Christ, so it says in that reading. You have to represent him, brother, because it's that important. You should be so excited about being so different and know how radical the difference is that you should be able to tell them out there that it is a necessity for them. You don't look at them and just, well, you know, you believe that's good for you. Relativism, deadly, soul-destroying. We are walking arcs of the covenant, so to speak. The Ark of the Covenant just had the Shekinah glory and a couple bowls of manna, the tables of the law. We have God Almighty himself as a result of our baptisms living and dwelling within us. We are the temple. Old Testament people, they were promised a promised land. Flowing with milk and honey. Awesome. Yeah, great. Sure beats chattel slavery in Egypt. Okay, but they even grumbled about that. We go back to Egypt because they had onions and stuff. Really? But what did they do? They trekked through the desert. To what? The promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. Great, yeah, but really no more than a holy real estate deal. Okay, we're going to go to a certain place. It might be nice. Okay, we're here. They got to fight for it. Got all kind of problems when they get there. We are not in this exile, which this is what it is. This is our desert experience. We watch family and friends die. We get sick. We get old. All these things happen to us. But just like the people of Israel trekked through the desert and faced all the trials that they did, we face all the trials of this life. And we're not talking about some throwdown real estate deal. We're talking about eternal life in the presence of God and the Blessed Virgin and all the saints, angels forever, for all eternity. That's the newness that we have. This is the succession of things. You have so much more. I would have loved to have been in the Bible days, live with the apostles. The apostles didn't even know what the word Trinity meant. You know so much more than the apostles know. You've got so much more going for you than King David, Prophet Jeremiah, and Isaiah. Name your Old Testament personality. You got so much more going for you. And they knew that they were radically different as just a nation than they were the people living around. But we walk around going, I'm just like you. Stupid. Absolutely stupid. We cannot, as I said, this is not triumphalism, because you can mess this up, this whole newness thing. You've been given everything that you need for eternal life. All you got to do is take advantage of it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to do anything. Just use what you've been given. The sacraments, the means of grace, prayer, preaching, the Word of God, all these things that we have that nurture us along in our faith, that make us grow and bear fruit. We can bring ourselves back to nothingness. Like I said, sin is nothingness. And if we sin and if we live in unrepentant sin, we bring ourselves back into this nothingness. That's the very familiar gospel passage that we heard read today. The prodigal son, what I just said about, we've been given everything that we need. That son, by virtue of just being his son, like he told his other one who was grumbling, all I have is yours. Did you get it? I'm thinking we don't get it, because all he has is ours. He's given it to us, but we can wreck it. We can bring ourselves back to nothingness. That's the parable today. You had everything. You squandered it. I mean, this guy got brought low. You know, to be a Hebrew, even hanging around pigs was like a huge no-no. That was like the height of, no, this can't happen. And he not only hung around with pigs, he wished, I like this part, he wished that he could eat what they were eating. But nobody even gave him that. He was brought to nothingness. And what is being brought to nothing? Every now and then it's good for us. Every now and then, when we trash our lives, you can look at it and go, oh, I've made such a wreck of it, I'm going to contemplate suicide. Nope. Because in Christ Jesus, you can even wreck it. You can even wreck it a bunch of times. And he's waiting for us to come back, just like the Father. This is a progressive newness. It's progressive. Every time you go to the confessional, every time, I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you walk out of there and you are as clean as the day you were baptized. Really kind of hard to fathom, particularly if you know your own heart. But you are, because Jesus Christ says so through his priest. To question it is to question Christ Jesus himself. This is the progressive newness. Every time we receive the blessed sacrament of the altar, we take divinity within ourselves. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing we take into ourselves where it doesn't become part of us, but we become part of him that we take into ourselves. You don't ever want to wreck that. Now, we can't help it because of our frailty that we mess it up every now and then, but it's this constant renewal, you know? It's just like a fruit tree. Certain parts of the year, they bear fruit like crazy. Then other times, I don't see anything on that. I don't think. And then you bear fruit. Then every now and then, you got to prune a little bit. Sometimes you got to cut stuff real far back. That's our spiritual life. Every now and then we got to prune, or he will prune us. Trees don't have central nervous systems, but pruning, if they did, would not be pleasant. Cutting parts off, whittling this away, engrafting here, that's us. A lot of renewal isn't positive. Ultimately, the end result is, if you've ever done any renovations in a house, how annoying that is. Trash, the mess, you can't use this room, you can't use that room. Why you put yourself through that? Because I want something new and better over here. That's us before Jesus Christ. Always getting a little bit new and a little bit better. I cannot emphasize enough, though, that this doesn't have anything to do with an innate goodness within us. I've said a couple times, we receive this newness in Christ Jesus when he comes to indwell us in his Holy Spirit through our baptism. It is all about Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't like when you say things like I did before, when it's not about law-keeping of Moses, Jews. It's not a lot about Muhammad, Islam. It's not about any Eastern philosophies. you know, contrary to what you like, everybody likes to appear to. Oh, they're okay because this, they're okay because that. They're not okay because they don't have Christ Jesus, or they deny Christ Jesus. Just in those few verses, we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in Christ we are new creatures. Through Christ God reconciled us to himself. For our sake he made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. It's all about Jesus Christ, him alone, and him exclusively. Bottom line. That's not being a hard case. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul. That's God's truth. Other things may sound nice to us, but it's not the truth. That's the truth. And that's what we have to appreciate. This is what should excite us so much. Like I said, you know, if you look at things temporally, death. My gosh, what's more horrible? What's more horrible than to lose a loved one? If that loved one was in Christ, if the sacraments and everything going for them when they depart, if I say you walk out of the confessional and there's newness there, we breathe our last in this world, if everything is as it should be, a newness that lasts for all eternity. Constant bearing of fruit. Constant flowering. Yeah, sad for us to miss, yes. But that holy hope of, you know, just a matter of, just like if they were on a trip, might be an extended period of time as far as we're concerned, not them. But it's the newness. And then we strive in this world to continue that newness, to progress in that newness. The Lenten season, you know, we get a picture. But there's a method to the madness with the liturgical seasons and the cycles. Okay, what is Lent? Lent, oh man, all about passion of Jesus, all about his sufferings and all those heavy things about suffering and how much of a sinner I am and everything like that. Yep, that's all true. But even in the midst of Lent, today, what happens? You can put a couple flowers on the altar. It's not purple, violet. It's a little bit more light. It's a shade of violet, but a little bit more light. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. You're getting toward the end of your Lent. You're getting toward the end of it. It's almost over. But what are we doing? What are we doing in Lent? We are progressing toward the Paschal feast, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that one who indwells us in the Holy Spirit, who has resurrected just by virtue of him being resurrected at the Paschal feast, we participate in that resurrection, showing us, giving us a little bit of refreshment, not just for the Lenten season, but for our lives here. Yeah, things might be bad and there might have been horrible things that going on, but keep going. Keep going. It's almost over. Eternity is a whole lot longer than our measly little 70 or 80 years in this world. Okay, we got to appreciate that. Again, there's a method to the madness. This is why we see these things that we do, because it gives us an inkling of our lives. We are reconciled to God as baptized Christians because of the Holy Spirit which indwells us as a result of our baptisms. This is what reconciles us to God. Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing. He's a good person. No, he's not. If he's not in Christ Jesus. Human being bears the image of God. As long as he's got his breath in his lung, he can come to Jesus Christ. He can be reconciled to God. That's why we as ambassadors of Christ should be telling them this. You're not a good ambassador if you're not telling people about this. We beseech people. As St. Paul, and I'll leave you with these words, St. Paul says to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is our message to other people, because we should appreciate our difference from them. We beseech you on behalf of Jesus Christ to be reconciled to God. Reconciled, yes, but not of your own whim and will, reconciled through Jesus Christ, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.